What's up, guys? It's Mr. Exact. Welcome back to the Fight Guys Show. I'm here from my co-host, Sugar Shot Evans. How are you doing, champ?
What's up, Zach? Hey, I'm missing you today, man. I am missing you.
Unfortunately, we get Raspy Zach and Zoom Zach. I'm still in Phoenix, Arizona, recovering from Saturday night. Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva. It all went down. I was backstage in the locker room. I was down in the second row. A lot going on.
Yeah, a lot going on indeed. And look, man, I'm tore up about what happened on Saturday, man. I'm conflicted in a lot of different ways. You know, I had to do a little bit of soul searching just because, I mean, it was a bittersweet for me, man. It was just a hard thing to watch, man.
Yeah, Jake Paul, you know, outpointed and outboxed the greatest combat athlete of all time.
Yeah, but I mean, look, let's be honest here. Let's just keep it real. I'm not trying to hate on your boy, but listen, Anderson is 47 years old, and he looked as if like he just didn't have it. He fell off a cliff as far as his athletic ability. Now look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Jake because he went in there and he did the thing, but that was a shell of what Anderson Silva is.
Where was his old? Where was the shell of himself? Excuse. When he beat Chavez Jr. last year for world champion. And then people don't know this, Chavez Jr. after that beats a pretty solid boxer. If you look at his box record, a guy with a lot of wins. So it's not like the guy's completely washed. Anderson outpointed him, beat him easy, knocked Tito out in like a minute probably. Jake Paul shouldn't be able to bounce from Ben Askren to Anderson Silva in a year and a half. That's not normal.
Look, I will give you this. Jake's skills have grown exceptionally as far as, you know, when he fought T. Wood, because I thought the person who fought T. Wood to get mopped up by Anderson.
He would have.
He had a lot of improvements in his fight. Had a lot of improvements in his fight, his endurance being one of them. He seemed to move around the cage pretty well. His defense seemed a little bit better. But, I mean, I just felt as if, like, when it came to it, like, I felt as if, like, he was almost a one-trick pony in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Looking for that big overhand right. He caught himself looking for it a little bit too much, then started working a little bit toward the body and everything else. But I felt like it was easy to see what he really wanted.
Yeah, but I think that right hand to the body really won him that fight.
Yeah, he kept going there pretty often.
He Anderson up. I think that conditioned him. Anderson does not block to the body. That was the game plan going into the fight. A lot of right hands to the body, right? Like Jake was dropping sparring partners with them. It's probably been the last 4 months where we've been working on going to open it up upstairs, which came into play in the eighth round.
You got to give credit where credit is due, man. And he beat him. He beat him. And I honestly, I didn't think that he had a chance. So for me, it's like what now, right? What now? And I heard the Nate Diaz situation is something that kind of popped off in the dressing room before the fights happened. You were there behind the scenes. Like, what really happened?
Yeah, so I'm there in the locker room chilling. Like, Jake's just resting his eyes. And then we hear a lot of explicitives, a lot of yelling, a lot of fighting outside, a lot of rambunctious noises. And I honestly didn't hear about this, but I saw the video after Jake slapped. The guy Nate Diaz slapped is literally Jake's breathing coach, who has peace signs all over his body and just preaches peace, love, and positivity. I don't know how he got slapped at all. I don't think he's been a threat to Nate Diaz.
How does one go in the dressing room of Jake Paul and get the chance to slap him in the first place? Normally, like when it's a fight, it's usually locked down. Like you have like a security guard, the commissioner. How does he walk in his dressing room and slap somebody?
Yes. So it was in the locker room, right? So it was right behind us. It's not in the room, right? And Nate, I believe, was cornering Chris Avila, who had just fought right before that. And then they started, and then they were walking down and they saw some team members of Team Paul, who I guess were just rooting for the guy that Chris Avila was fighting, and they took that personally. They're a very sensitive crew. So they heard that, they ran down on him, and then Jake's security got them all out of there. I don't know if you saw that clip. They were literally running from Jake's security, all of them.
Yeah, I seen that. So is that fight going to happen, or is that just something that like the hype is happening? Because look, if you fight Nate Diaz, it's a different kind of fight out the gate. This is not anything friendly. They're not going to be dancing before the fight. It's a fight like you might have to fight him in the street type fight.
Yeah, it is a different fight, but I think Nate Diaz is a much easier fight than Anderson Silva.
he may appear that way in a lot of different ways because he's got that slapping style that doesn't look like it amounts to anything, but the pressure that he brings is something that Jake is going to have to watch out for. And one thing that I notice about Jake, no matter who is fighting, T-Wood all the way to Anderson Silva, under the pressure is where he is most vulnerable.
I would say this also, Anderson Silva moves his head really well, like excellent defensively. Nate Diaz just charges forward on a straight line. I think he would get messed up bad. I think his scar tissue would like be leaking by like round one.
I mean, I hope we get to see it. I hope we get to see it. But I mean, another MMA guy, like, I mean, I love the shtick that he's doing as far as like he's finding his home in this combat sports arena, right? It's not the typical boxing combat arena that he's fighting in. He's got a kind of hybrid style the way he's picking these fights. And that's great for his brand. But for me as an MMA guy, I feel a little sick inside because like this is like he's hitting at the history of MMA greatness, and taking out Anderson Silva is like taking out one of the figureheads at Mount Rushmore of MMA. You know, he's one of the head figures and one of the greats ever. And for me as an MMA guy, it hurts me to see that, because without the history of these great fighters, you know, it kind of throws MMA in a place that it loses a bit of that, the idea of being one of the baddest sports and the baddest men actually fight MMA, you know?
Don't know if that's the goal, but it definitely has done that.
I don't like it, man. I don't like it. I just feel like, you know, to be able to do what he's done, though, and Jake Paul being able to call the shot, saying how he's going to do it, and do it, that's a tough thing to do, because I know what it's like to take a fight, and I know when you have to fight, for some reason, your mind plays tricks on you. It's one of the hardest things in the world to do, mentally speaking. So to push past that and go out there and execute is not an easy feat. So I give him credit for that, but I don't like it.
Also, just one last thing to touch on this. I think we got to give respect to Anderson Silva, 47, going out there and doing that, right? He didn't do the T-Wood where he kind of sat back, didn't let his hands go. Absolutely let his hands go. At the end of in the eighth round, clearly thought he was losing on the scorecards. Tried to go extra aggressive at Jake after feeling his power. Got dropped because of it. But he went out in his shield, went out like a warrior. Very impressive.
Yeah, he did. That pressure that he put on at the end and really tried to make it a fight and really tried to put some pressure on him. And Jake responded in a way that I didn't think that he could. And that to me was the most impressive part of the fight, was the fact that when he was under the attack, when the pressure was on, he came out with the right education with that right hand.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be fun to see what's next. I think the two names people are throwing out there, Nate Diaz and Tommy Fury. So we'll see. I don't think I can do another Tommy Fury camp, though. A huge fight coming up this Saturday. Not getting talked about enough. Jason, all the tension. But we got Dimitri Bivol taking on Zerto Gilberto Ramirez. This is a big-time light heavyweight fight. Both guys are undefeated. Zerto's 44-0. Dimitri Bivol, of course, beat Canelo Alvarez. I mean, this is a big-time fight, champ. But what are your thoughts on it?
Man, it's a big test. You know, got the Ramirez coming in this fight, and he's trying to, you know, get it back for the La Raza, you know, for the Mexican pride. And, you know, he's got the right recipe. You know, a great mid-range fighter who loves the body, who can attack the body pretty good. He wants Bivol. He's been calling out Bivol. And that desire to want to get in there, and with the tools that he have, it may be a tough night for Bivol. I mean, Bivol's got a lot that I like in a fighter, being able to control the range from the outside. Sick jab, nice right hand, great setups, great movement. It's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, Bivol might have the best fundamentals in boxing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking about straight punches, his jab, his right hand. Excellent amateur. Has translated super well into the pros, right? I think the winner of this fight stays undefeated. I think they're a top five pound-for-pound guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how could they not? With their records and you know, Bivol, what he's done. He's moving to a whole nother mindset as far as, you know, legendary status, possibly beating out Canelo the way that he did. And it, for me, the way that Bivol fights and the way that he fought Canelo, how tight he was and not falling for, you know, Canelo's boxing ability. And, you know, Canelo has some great body shots, too. So I want to see what Ramirez is able to do differently to land to the body that Canelo couldn't do.
Yeah, also, I think the biggest difference between Zurdo and Canelo, I mean, I would assume Canelo's a little bit better skill-wise because Canelo's better than everyone skill-wise, but it's the fact that Zurdo's a lot bigger. Zurdo's a right. big man. I know he's coming up from 168, but he was drained there. He's still a big guy at 175, and Bivol really isn't. So Zurdo's definitely going to have the size advantage here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to be something to see, impressive to see how Bivol handles that size advantage that Ramirez is going to have. And, you know, with those punches that he has to the body, because his arm's so long, they can get around those elbows in ways that, you know, Canelo's couldn't. So we're going to see what happens.
Yeah, shout out to Bivol. Shout out to Zurdo taking on a super tough fight, right? A fight that they might not necessarily have to. A lot of guys in boxing aren't doing that. Case in point, Terrence Crawford is fighting David Anisian.
Wow. See, and this is... What happened? What happened, man? What happened? I thought for sure it's gonna is that's sad, man. That's really sad, man. It's a true miss for boxing.
Yeah, it is. But Bivol and Zurdo, it's a great fight. Period.
Absolutely.
Yeah, excited about that one. Transitioning from boxing / MMA / crossover madness over to just MMA. Arnold Allen versus Calvin Kattar. What were your thoughts on this fight, right? I caught the replay, but I was kind of caught up with Jake Paul mania. What were your thoughts on this fight?
You know, Allen, he's pretty dope, man. Like honestly, offensively speaking, very composed, very patient. Defensively, he has great defensively, a great response. The way he controlled the fight was great. And, you know, it was very unfortunate the way that it ended with Kattar blowing his knee out. But, I mean, had that fight win five rounds, I don't see Kattar being able to do anything any different. You know, I think that Allen is a problem. You know, he fights very smart and just has so many tools in a toolbox. I think he's definitely going to be a contender pretty soon.
What about his win streak? Yeah, all he does is win.
Yeah, that's all he does is win. And facing the dogs that he has been facing and beating them the way that he's been beating them, I mean, it's hard to really – you know, really find something in his game that he's not doing right. Like watching the way that he fights and the way that he does like an armadillo. Like you don't see a lot of MMA guys do the armadillo, but the way that he does the armadillo is perfect because in MMA, you know, it's so easy for those gloves to get in between, but the way that he throws an armadillo and he has an elbow out, it almost acts as if like, if you get too close, you will get caught with an elbow. But more importantly, if you hit him on the elbow, it hurts. You know, it's just like kicking somebody with your foot and then hitting their knee. It's one of the things that kind of hurts. So he's got a really dope style. And I wasn't really tracking him before, but now I'm really tracking him.
Yeah, Arnold Allen super overlooked before this fight.
Yeah.
Very. Not being talked about enough at all. Very impressed with that performance. He looked very sharp. He looked like a much better fighter, right? I'm going to say a well-deserved win because he was outclassing Calvin. That was a little bit of a ill-advised strike he threw out there to get injured, I would say.
Yeah, it was, man. I mean, but for Kattar to come out the second round, it just shows how tough this kid is, man. You know, there's no quitting this kid.
No, and, we saw, I mean, Max Holloway hit the guy 30,000 times, I think. They tracked it.
Heart full on display, man. But sometimes you go out there and it's just not your night, man. For whatever reason, it just looked like Kattar just couldn't get those hands going, you know. And part of the problem was because he played the patient game a little too long, you know. Sometimes you get caught waiting, you get caught analyzing, then pretty soon you take a front row seat to your own ass whooping, you know?
Yeah, I've got some thoughts what to do with this featherweight division while Volk fights for the lightweight strap. But every one of them, I feel so disrespectful because Max Holloway has somehow turned into a gatekeeper. He's got to be the best gatekeeper of all time.
Yeah, but that just goes to show you how good that weight class has got, right? The fact that Max Holloway, that the beast that he is now finding himself in a gatekeeper role. But I mean, it's also with the age too, right? As you get older and as this new talent comes forth and you suffered a couple losses, Father Time is undefeated, man.
Yeah, so I think what we do here, right, we've got four guys. We've got Max Holloway at the top, still number one guy. And we've got Arnold Allen. We've got Josh Emmett. We've got Yair Rodriguez. So I think we can do Arnold Allen, and he can take on Yair Rodriguez, right? That'd be a dope fight. And then we can have Josh Emmett take on Max Holloway. That would be a dope fight. I think if Emmett comes out and beats Holloway, I think he gets a shot. But if not, if Holloway beats him, then I think you get the winner of Allen versus Yair. I think they would be well-deserved number one contender for Volk.
Yeah, I think so. And they have the time to kind of fight that out because that Volk is going to be going up to 155 doing that super fight. So I think they have enough time to fight to sort that out. But I love the matchups that you made, you know. The stylistically speaking, I mean, Yair is one of my favorites to watch. So him versus Allen will be absolute madness.
Yeah, I don't know if those are the biggest pay-per-view blockbuster fights, but listen, none of those guys have fought each other, right? We already had Holloway taken, Rodriguez, that type of thing. And those are fresh matchups. We get fresh blood, right? And I think Volkanovski will get a well-deserved number one contender with those matchups.
Yeah, yeah. And Josh Emmett, man, that dude right there is something else. When he turned my head, when he knocked out Michael Johnson the way that he did, he's got crazy power. But my thing with Emmett is he's just not active enough. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing I heard him. He's just not active enough.
But I think it's Arnold Allen, if we're being honest. Arnold Allen fights like once every year and a half.
Yeah. When was the last time he fought before?
It's been a while. Like if you, oh, you look, it? It's like one fight 2019, one fight 2020. He basically fights once a year, Arnold Allen. And he's young.
But when you're up that close to being number one and fighting for the belt, there's not a lot of options out there, you know, because you can either take a chance of fighting somebody and then that's not at the level and then find yourself out of the rankings with a bad performance or with, you know, a performance that just wasn't, you know, up to par. So it's a tough position to be in.
You know, I'm not saying he's ducking anyone or anything like that. It's just tough for fans to latch on to someone who doesn't fight very often.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the bet that Jake Paul made with Anderson Silva that's going to have ramifications in MMA. He bet that if he won, that him and Anderson Silva would start a United Fighters Association for mixed martial arts, right? GSP also in the building. Maybe he could get involved. He did end up winning, right? What do you think about this?
I think it could be very interesting to see how it plays out. I love the idea of it. I think it's something that's definitely needed. But, I mean, it's largely going to be contingent on, like, how many managers really start ushering their fighters this way, start to, you know, see what they got going on and see, you know, the validity in it and see if it can really help their fighters. But I feel like at the end of the day, it's long overdue. It's long overdue, you know. As fighters, you know, we have nothing after we get done. You know, after we get done from fighting, there's really nothing for us afterwards, you know. And if you haven't put your money away the right way, or you haven't, you know, started to branch out and do something else while you were in the spotlight, then when the spotlight moves, it moves. You know, you see fighters in a lot of very desperate situations after they get done fighting and their fight career is done, and they have to you know, go to drastic measures in order to make ends meet. So I love it, and it's long overdue. I just hope that, you know, it gets the kind of follow that will be beneficial to MMA, because I mean, there's a lot to be said about, you know, the split, you know, with organizations and what the fighters get, you know, and at the end of the day, without the fighters, there is none of these organizations. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fighters are what makes these organizations what they are. You know, none of these organizations would be what they were if it wasn't for the heart of these fighters, you know, and the display of grit, determination, and all the things that you get when you watch these fighters. And what make people resonate so much with MMA is the way that these fighters go out there and they display their heart. So anything for the fighters to help keep them and sustain them for the effort that they did for the entertainment, I'm with that.
Do you think Anderson Silva is a good president?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's respected. He's respected in the game, you know, and GSP, if all, you know, all like these top fighters started to get involved, you know, like once again, that's GSP. When I was talking about a Mount Rushmore of MMA, that's another guy, you know, and he's with, you know, he was at the Jake Paul fight, you know, working, color analyst, and it's a role you don't really get to see GSP in, you know, but to see him come out and do that for that show really showed that he's behind the movement and really trying to, you know, help out fighters in a different kind of way. And I think it's important because when you see a guy like GSP, you know, he was one of the successful stories, you know, a guy who really learned how to parlay his success in the octagon with great deals on the outside, had a great management team, and really made his money in MMA, but made it work for him in the way that now he's able to live the life that a lot of fighters that are retired wish they can live. So where he can say, you know what, I don't want to do a fight, that fight, because, you know, it doesn't serve me, you know? So he's able to call his own shots, and to have him involved with something like that, I think a lot of fighters would definitely want to get down and really try to understand more of it, because that's the kind of thing when you're a young guy, you want to be a GSP, you know, you want to be able to travel the world and go here and go there and have your businesses set up and things like that. And a lot of fighters, they're still learning that aspect, the business side of fighting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if everyone can be an Avenger basically, but yeah.
But I mean, he did. It wasn't just the Avengers. I mean, he did it with Rush Fitness. Rush Fitness was a DVD set that he came out with back in the day. It was a killer. And you know, I remember him telling me, he was like, "Rashad, my friend, I don't have to worry about the money anymore." And I was like, "Damn, what'd you do? I did the DVD." And I was like, "Okay." So, you know, so he had a good team around him, you know, and he always made sure he had the top-notch guys around him to make sure that he was always getting put in the top places. So if he can pass that kind of insight on to young MMA fighters, that will serve a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. GSP is my MMA goat. Did you see people trying to put him against Jake?
No, really?
Yeah, he's like, I'm retired.
Yeah, he don't need that. I can't have another one of my favorites falling victim to this. I just can't at this point.
I think at that point, Jake, we just have to take out the full Mount Rushmore.
He's gonna get hit with it in his knee or something. I can't allow that to happen. Listen, it's just too much, man. It's just too much. Okay, he's done his thing. All right, Jake, round of applause, man. Let it be, man. Let it be. Leave our old guys in retirement. You know what I'm saying? Let them be, man. We need something.
Is Nate Diaz cool to fight? He's not that old.
No, Nate Diaz, he's game. He's game. I here's the thing about Nate Diaz is the fact that Nate Diaz is one of those fighters who's going to fight Jake in a multifaceted fight, meaning the fact that it's not going to just be in the boxing ring. The fight is going to happen the minute they sign the contract.
God, I hope not for Lucas's sake, the breathing coach.
But I mean, it's gonna be warfare. That's what I'm saying. It's gonna be warfare. It's gonna be a lot. It's gonna be that you're gonna feel like you're in a fight, and having that feeling like you're gonna be in a fight the whole time, having to have the sound bites, all that back and forth, that gets exhausting. It's so exhausting.
I think we're about ready to. Anything else you want to say? Also, just to wrap up, I have a really important message, and this is probably gonna be like the most important thing I want to touch on here, and it's really important, and I just want to say it's dear to my heart. Rashad, can you give me like 15 push-ups?
Ah, oh. The humanity. Oh man, I'm wired right now, so I'm gonna have to like do them and then IG you that I did them so you can see me.
Okay.
Getting down and doing them. But you know what? You got it, man. 15. What is it, 100 anytime?
Yeah, it's 100. Yeah, so yeah, once again, I win another bet. Jake, shout out to you. I'm Mr. Exact. That's Sugar Shot Evans. He has to do 100 push-ups. You just watch the fight, guys.